Welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. We have Judy Wood on as our guest. So, yeah, Judy, what have there been any new developments, any new discoveries, new pictures coming in? Do you have people sending you pictures, you know?
I go out trolling for pictures. I have plenty of pictures to put up. I just haven't had the time to get to it. There are some new developments since I last talked with you. Not today, but, from a few weeks or a few months back.
Yeah.
And that's what started the DIRT series. a lot of people are probably familiar with that Greg Jenkins hit piece.
Yeah.
And somebody did the transcript for me, and I was putting it up and putting in the pictures that if I had been warned of what Jenkins wanted to talk to me, I would have brought, my pictures. But I had no warning. I was yanked on the way, from the audience going to the bathroom. Like, oh, we just want to ask you a question. Step over here. But I was looking over that transcript and remembering the event. There were various things that Jenkins did not want me to talk about. Panic. And so I got to look at those things more carefully. What are those things he wanted me to stay away from? And you look at it more and more, and you realize, he knows exactly what happened in 9/11. He needs you to stay away from it. So it was very good clues, and that is what motivated the DIRT series. He wanted to say it was all coarse dust, couldn't be fine, it couldn't have gone up, had to have gone down, and all the stuff is there. So we didn't want to admit that anything had disappeared, and it was not fine dust. So I started looking at those things more and more, and that's when I started looking at the quality of this, quote, cloud of dust, and realizing these various stages it goes through, and there's different mechanisms going on. And then I realized that the pictures, once you kind of are more key to looking at things, you go back and look over your older pictures, and by golly, you see stuff like these dirt trucks moving in. Dirt trucks after dirt trucks. Do you remember any of that?
No, not really.
And Rudy Giuliani, I have an audio recording where the next morning of the 12th, he is bragging how he had 120 dump trucks, leaving New York City overnight, implying that he had debris being hauled away.
Just en masse, just grabbing it up and scooping it up and hauling it off.
120 dump trucks. First, what hit me when I heard that is, how does he get that many dump trucks in that mayhem?
Right.
How do you organize that? You have to have organized it ahead of time. 120.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They had this all worked out, didn't they?
But not only that, now I understand what the issue is.
Think
you had
about
dirt
it.
Trucks coming in.
To put this in perspective, this is the biggest crime scene in American history. There should have been thousands of people fine-tooth combing that whole area, meticulously looking at every little piece and cataloging it, photographing it. This is what you do at any crime scene, at a murder scene. This is a mass murder scene, and en masse, they're taking this debris by the ton and just quickly hauling it off to destroy it as quickly as possible. This is a felony, folks. Understand the severity of this.
Oh, no. Why do you think that it got hauled away? Because they told you it did? I start looking at the pictures, and I realize the pile gets bigger with time. It doesn't get smaller.
Oh, really?
They were bringing the trucks coming and going. That was the cover story for why the trucks were bringing dirt into the city.
Oh, in?
Yeah. You have trucks coming and going all night, so you tell people it was hauling debris away. Not that they were coming in full of dirt and leaving empty.
Oh, wait a minute. This is getting interesting. I'll tell you what, short break. We'll be right back. You've got to tell me more about that. We've got Judy Wood on the line. So you're telling me that these trucks were bringing in dirt?
Yeah, my dirt series, its name. That's what the dirt's about. They're bringing in dirt.
Yeah, this is new to me. So what in the world was behind that?
Well, I'm just looking at the data. Let's not jump to conclusions. That's how I approach it. So I'm looking at this dirt. I'm not trying to say this is the answer I want, so let me go find the evidence for it. No, I'm just saying, what is this dirt? And they're bringing this, you know, here, dirt trucks are lined up bumper to bumper coming in. And the morning of the 12th, Giuliani is bragging about 120 dump trucks. Overnight, you know, he worded that they were leaving the city, but he didn't say they're leaving with debris in them, but he implied that. So if you were somebody who saw dirt saw trucks coming going, oh, they must have been hauling out debris. You know, and so now you have an answer, and you don't keep asking questions. You move along. And that, just like the molten metal, oh, that's why we saw fumes coming up. So you have that answer, you move along. You don't say, wait a minute, if that's that hot, why are people standing in the middle of it? So, yeah, there's plenty of dirt. Like, right after 9/11, this is in front of WFC2. There's a picture where these workers are standing, and there's brand-new potting soil, looks like potting soil, dumped all over the yard. You know, the streets, they scrub those real fast because the fumes coming up. And what do you do with the lawn? You put wet dirt on it. That's what you do for a chemical spill. And then the cover story is you're hauling out debris. But you look at it with time, the pile got bigger. It wasn't getting smaller for, you know, several weeks.
I remember when I went there, this was, year and a half, I guess, after 9/11. And you couldn't see too good because they had this big fortress fence around it. And it was lined with this white mesh screen, so you couldn't see any details. But I do remember asking, you know, where are the foundations? I couldn't really make sense of it. There was so much junk lying around. And then when they were finally pointed out to me, the reason I didn't recognize it is because there were no holes in the ground. The foundations, it was just like squared off, you know, two squared off areas.
Yeah, it's a square, smooth area of where the concrete base was, and the concrete base was not shattered.
Right, but they were the basements were filled in with dirt. I was expecting to see these gaping holes. No, it was all filled in with dirt.
Oh, for all that spring of 2002, there was dirt in there. So you talk about looking for body parts. Why, if you're looking for body parts, do you cover the site with dirt?
Yeah, I think that's when that was. It was April of 2002.
Yeah, and I've got a picture, or several pictures from March 2002, where you still have fumes coming up from
the empty
pit.
I think it was about a year later, so it was 2003. But in any case, I remember seeing the dirt and wondering where the heck is the... Where are the holes? But, you know,
how did that dirt get there? You don't have that many potted plants up in the offices.
Yeah, right.
And there's pictures, like, you know, within a day of 9/11, where you have brand new dirt dumped. Not scattered, but in little piles. Like somebody brought in a wheelbarrow full and dumped. And you have these bucket brigades. You know, where's the dirt coming and going from?
Now, why would you do that at a crime scene, folks? This is something that needed to be thoroughly poured over. Keep in mind, too, you know, they had cleanup, they had volunteers there from around the country, experts, who volunteered to help with the examination of the debris, forensics experts, you name it. And FEMA was holding them back. They wouldn't let them touch anything, look at anything. And, you know, I've got reams of... quotes from cleanup crew members who were expressing infuriation that FEMA was controlling everything and they weren't allowing these people to look at this debris. They were taking up their time, coming there, volunteering, and they weren't being allowed. He says, we've got the dream team of experts assembled here, and they can't touch it. They can't do anything.
Oh, yeah, don't look too closely. If we look at, like, a picture for the first time, but if somebody shows it to us and tells us what's in it, we'll accept that and not look a whole lot further. Or if you go to a crime scene, and if they tell you how to interpret it, then you don't ask them any questions. And I, you know, now with hindsight, we can see a lot of that going on. Like, apparently, they were giving slideshows to somebody of molten metal and saying, this is what we had here. So the people pretty soon start forgetting if they really witnessed molten metal or not. but there are absolutely no photos of molten metal or of a hot place. Here you have a dog running underneath, you know, down around every nook and cranny looking for survivors. His feet aren't burned. His fur isn't burned. Also, I've got an audio. I haven't put this one up yet. Of they're saying that they brought somebody out. This is the morning of the 13th. They claimed that they were moving stuff, and they lifted up a beam, and there were two firemen that they rescued.
Mm.
They excavated them out. What were they doing, waiting in molten metal for 2 days? And they come out undamaged.
What were they, in the sub-basement levels?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So now, I don't know if that's a true story, but this is what aired on the radio then. Because I later heard a CNN thing saying that 27 hours was the last person they pulled out. But they did pull some out the next morning of the 12th at 8 a.m. And they dug down to, they're in the sub-basement.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Anyway, about the dirt. So there's this picture of WFC1 right after the event. You have a flip car, and, you know, out front, instead of being parked parallel to the curb, it's upside down, like just decided to park upside down. And then you see another picture where those things have been hauled away. The debris has been hauled off the old terrace in the front yard. And then the next picture, the next day, they bring in brand-new potting soil, cover the terrace with it. And a week later, they bring in bulldozers that scoop up the terrace and haul it away.
Is there any way to track down this trucking company to find out who they were, where they came from, where they were getting the dirt, what the motive was?
I think we as taxpayers deserve to have that information.
There's got to be a way.
With that many trucks, and certainly those dump truck drivers, who were they told that they were driving?
Yeah.
I think that's where the secrecy is about tracking who's coming and going from where. Because you got to keep somebody's mouth shut about...
I wonder if these were Halliburton contractors.
Oh, likely. Or it's further down the feeding chain, because you don't want too many people knowing who gave what orders. But those truck drivers know when they're driving an empty truck. And they know when they're driving a full truck. So they're coming in. I've got a picture of, I think, four of them, bumper to bumper, driving south on West Street. They're north of the Trade Center complex, driving south on West Street, and, you know, nice full loads, but they're not up to the point where the guy in the street's going to see if there's anything in the truck. It's going to look empty. And they have a tarp over the load. It looks like a little bread loaf in there.
When did Giuliani make the statement again that he had all these trucks?
The morning of the 12th.
Wow.
I've got an audio of it on my dirt page.
Boy, if you could hunt down the paperwork on that and you know, confirm that this was done ahead of time, that it had to be.
Have to organize those trucks, and they knew what to expect to know to bring in the dirt. Now,
you know, that's like that Kenny. I wonder if there's some way we could find this Kenny guy, this FEMA worker. Remember he said, oh, we were the first to arrive here to help.
Oh, Tom Kenny.
Tom Kenny, yeah. To hunt him down.
Yeah, you could say that he had the dates off by mistake or something. Because, you know, he'll by now have said that, because either that, you know, or he won't be around anymore.
Yeah, well, that's like Jamie McIntyre, you know.
Right. The memory changes with time.
What a lying thought.
But instead of pining over what data we don't have, that's what they want us to focus on. If we look at the data we do have. We didn't have, you know, mountains of material hauled off to China. Before noon on 9/11, I've got a picture. Both towers are gone. Building 7 is still standing, so we obviously know what day it is. But from the shadows, you can tell it's before noon. The ground's horizontal. Nothing's there. They couldn't have hauled it off to China by then.
Right.
You know, in the first 20 minutes. But with this dirt, okay, so they bring in the dirt, put it on the terrace in front of WFC1, a week later scoop it up and haul it back out. Can
so
you think of any innocent explanation?
Yeah, I mean, it had to be low, like you said, you know, just to absorb the heat.
No, don't assume heat. Then you start looking at the pictures, and the one that gave me the aha moment, I've got this picture, it's on my Dirt 2 page. we're a block or so north of the complex, just north of the Toasted Car lot, and you see the Toasted Car's on fire, so that tells you about what time it is. The car's caught on fire, or started smoldering or whatever, right after the second tower went poof. And they're not going to be really stirred up into a black cloud for another, like, 20 minutes after the tower goes. You know, it has to have time to crank up. So it's probably, like, 20 or 30 minutes after the north tower went poof. Okay, here you are north of the tower. You're upwind. And the dust cloud is cleared out, the one that went rolling along the ground. You have a clear blue sky. And you look down at the ground, and you have dust poofing up off the street. Fine, fine dust. There wasn't enough time for that fine of dust to settle out of the air.
Well, yeah, I know some pictures taken across the bay, right at the moment of collapse of the first tower, the south tower, you can see this dust rising up, glowing from some unknown light source. Where did that dust come from? The building was in the process of collapsing. Anyway, guys, stick with us. We'll be right back with Judy Wood. Hey, we're back on Two-Thirds Radio. Got Judy Wood on as our guest. So, Judy, just so I get this in perspective here, are you saying that explosives, or you don't feel that explosives were used at all? That this was?
I'm not saying they weren't used at all.
But what's that?
A single explosive here, there, or a row of them, or whatever, isn't going to do what we saw. I call them decoy squibs and decoy sounds. Because somebody hears, you know, a bang, 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 or whatever, then they think, oh, that must be controlled demolition. And they quit looking further. It's a way of controlling the thinking. But just look at the data. Just absorbing the data, what it's telling you. So we're back to that intersection about a block north where clear blue sky, because we're upwind, the dust has quickly settled out of the air, so it can't be fine dust. If it settles that quickly, it's not fine.
But, I mean, you think, like, Jones's findings of thermate are not valid? You don't think it was thermate?
I don't think that he has any findings of thermate. But in addition, he hasn't shown how that could do anything. I like to use the analogy of bubblegum. Let's say I find evidence that bubblegum was in the towers. Oh, therefore, we have the smoking gun. No, I have to prove to you that bubblegum could have done what we see.
Oh, yeah, I don't. There's no doubt that thermite, it's not even an explosive. It could not have pulverized.
Right, but it's a distraction to get you to focus on, kind of sulfur or barium or whatever's in it. But let's look at the basics.
The sulfur, yeah.
What could have happened? Now, thermite has never been used to bring down a building and control demolition.
Right.
Yeah, and how do you time it? How do you?
My take is that they probably were using multiple, every trick up their sleeve. The thermite.
I think a lot of it is a cover up, because you bet the cover up was planned more thoroughly than the event.
Oh, sure.
The cover up isn't just an accident. They don't just plan the event and then let the cover up go haphazardly, however it falls out.
And it still continues.
Right. I believe Building 7 is part of the cover up. That's its main purpose. It's multi purpose for everything. But I think that's the main purpose.
I mean, you don't think that Jones himself is trying to, quote, cover things up. I mean, the guy was basically fired over this.
He wasn't fired.
Well, smoked
out. I lost
out.
My job. I don't have an income.
You know,
Jones has an income.
So you aren't still teaching?
No, I lost my job because of this.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. Jones didn't lose his job. He has an income. He got early retirement.
Okay, right, yeah. I just figured that they had smoked him out early, though, you know, forced him into early retirement.
They were going to supposedly have an investigation. We don't know what the truth is. They were supposedly going to investigate his, questionable research. And then, to stop the investigation, he did early retirement. Then part of the deal is they don't keep on investigating.
Kind of like a plea bargain thing.
Yeah.
But so you did lose. So, wow, I didn't know you lost your job. I thought you were still teaching there. Now, what were you, a physicist there, or what was your...
Engineer. I was in the Department of Mechanical Engineering.
Oh, okay. Son of a gun. So they fired you. Oh, just over this, obviously.
It's more complicated than that, but, yeah. I don't like to dwell on those kind of things. And if we wanted to dwell on those things, we could dwell at all the, you know, if somebody wants to play Bob story.
Well, you know, I certainly hope you can find something at another less sleazy university. You know, I'm sure there's got to be something.
This is an issue with our educational system. It's just the way it has evolved. Look at the Purdue, cartoon that they put out.
Sure.
What kind of educational system does that with your tax dollars?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was funded by the National Science Foundation, which, of course...
Your tax dollars at work.
Yeah, and that was personally appointed by Bush, all of its heads, so there you go with that.
But do you think that is ethical, that study?
Not even remotely.
Right. And what do you think would happen if a coworker pointed that out? Would he still be there?
Yeah, exactly.
Would he get any grant money?
Yeah, unfortunately, once you're blackballed in one university, that's it across the board, because they all depend on that, you know, it's all centrally controlled. People think it's just, you know, public education, quote-unquote, as if there was such a thing.
And it isn't, Darwin. It isn't, you know, a weeding out or whatever. It's a control mechanism.
Right.
There's always another reason for something than what is officially stated. Like why your grant is turned down, your proposal.
Yeah, it's not like somebody has to call up in Washington and say, hey, don't shut this guy up, we're going to cut the funding. They don't have to do that. It's just the natural play out of things.
It's the way it's formulated.
Right.
That brings us to another interesting...
Like, just to throw this in the mix, it's like the faith-based initiative thing. That's how it works with the churches. They don't have to tell them, hey, shut up, don't let your minister speak out against government corruption. It just works that way because they're...
They've seen what happens if you speak out.
Right. Anyway, hold the thought. You were just going to mention something. Hold that, and when we get back from the break, you can go on with that. Stick with us, folks. Be right back.
What it's done to me, lose the love I knew, safely lead me through.
Hey, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. Your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got Judy Wood on the line. So do you remember the point you were... in the middle of something when the break
came? The dust and how it settled out of the air very quickly, and then it started to come up off the ground. And I think we've all seen those pictures of people coming out of their hiding places, and you notice all this fuzzy stuff around their feet. You know, the fine dust that's like this little dust cloud around their feet. But if the dust had just settled out, it can't be that fine. If it settles out of the air in like 15 minutes... it cannot be that fine. In order to get that fine of dust, the debris or dust that landed must have continued to break down and get smaller and smaller. So at, you know, an hour later, it was finer than it was when it landed on the ground. Think of that.
And what do you think caused that?
This dirt series is about looking at the different phenomenons. So you know when the stuff's flying through the air, you see it trailing dust?
Yeah.
I call that the shaving cream or Alka-Seltzer effect. You have these steel wheat checks, I call them, flying through the air and kind of dissolving midair, streaming dust behind them. They land...
Yeah. The outer casings of the buildings.
Right.
Yeah.
The outer columns. They're in groups, and it kind of looks like the wheat check cereal. So I've coined the term wheat checks. It's this group of three and three and three outer columns. But they're flying through the air... streaming dust, but you look on the ground and they never landed. They dissolved before they hit the ground. But that dust settles out quickly, but continues to break down.
That's the same with the top section of the South Tower. This has been a big mystery, and there's never been an answer provided according to the pancake theory. You know, one floor collapsed on another.
Oh, it can't collapse sideways. You know, gravity goes straight. Right. Doesn't go diagonally.
Those that don't know, the South Tower top section, the top 20 floors or so, tilted at a sharp angle. And
then went poof and disappeared.
Yeah, it disappeared into the cloud of collapsing debris, and it was never seen again.
And the building below it disappeared, too.
Yeah, right.
Now, but here's the thing I've discovered by looking at this dust, that, you know, stuff that just dissolves midair. Okay, and it lands, and it continues to break down. And that is what this fuming is the material continues to break down and just turn into, you know, gas or vapor or whatever, or very fine particles in the air. And that's what they needed to snuff out with the dirt. And part of the cover story is to say, oh, that's fires and it's hot molten metal. And then people quit asking questions why you have this steam-looking stuff rising. There's, on the afternoon of 9/11, there was a break in the water main on West Street, and you had this swamp, you know, kind of a lake, because the street was flooded. The street's flooded, but the shoreline has these fumes coming out. That's not molten metal next to water that somebody's wading out into. Why isn't the person getting boiled?
Yeah.
It does make sense. And also, Chernobyl, it's thought what caused that was water being superheated. It makes an explosion. So if you had molten metal and water, you should have had an explosion. Because you had how many gallons of water poured on the site? And after that, you had this horrendous rain.
Well, that went on for... That's another bizarre... I mean, that went on until mid-December, or late December, December 19th.
And then they said the fires were out, but the pile continued to fume into the spring until they actually physically carted the pile of dirt away.
Yeah.
And this dirt that they carted in looks like it came from a landfill. So it has another purpose, too. It has the pens and pencils and stuff you'd expect to see in an office. They bring it to the site.
So you're coming at it from the premise that it was solely scalar weapons?
No. I think it's a two-step thing. I'm working on this new webpage to describe it. One of the stages you look at is, I call it lathering up. The building lathers up for its demise, like soap suds, you know, lathering up.
Yeah.
Where you see this tremendous amount of stuff frothing out of one side of the building from top to bottom. You've seen some of those pictures.
Oh, sure.
That, I believe, is something that they've released in the building. And...
So you do believe there were actual explosives, right? Because
No.
You don't think that...
The explosives, I think, were of the point of just being a decoy.
Okay.
To a distraction. But this is pretty comprehensive. I think it's a two-step thing. You think of photographic emulsion. You know how you put your film in the freezer to get more shelf life out of it? Because it's a very slow chemical reaction by itself. But once light hits that photographic emulsion, it instantly reacts, or pretty instantly. So you slow down. The process is by itself, but then it really zaps when light hits it.
Reaction you're talking about on the steel?
They have some kind of chemical they released in the building. By itself, it didn't do anything, a whole lot. It's very slow acting, but you ignite it with this other thing.
A primer, yeah.
Like a beam or something, and that would allow you to control the demolition. So the beam doesn't need to be that strong. It's just a catalyst. It's like a two-part epoxy, you know? You have the resin and the hardener, and that also explains building the Bangor Stress Building. Because you remember when the snowball, you know, the stuff is spitting out, Tower 2 is spitting out stuff on the way down?
Yeah.
So if that had that lathering up stuff, it's spilling over onto Bangor's Trust. Then when they hit it with the beam, activates the part that's hit Bangor's Trust. And I believe that's why you have holes in the street. If the stuff hadn't spilled into the streets and the beam hit the street, it'd be fine. But the fact that the lathering up stuff, the chemical, flowed out onto the street and then the beam hit the street, you have a hole in the street. so this Alka-Seltzer look, or whatever, that, like, in Building 7, it's the same thing. It lathers up. If I've got these pictures of Tower 1, while Tower 2 is going poof, Tower 1, they use that, you know, people are distracted by watching the clouds roll out from Tower 2, but Tower 1 is just pretty lathering up big time. But then it comes to a noticeable stage, so they crank back the knob and quit lathering it up. Which makes me think, it, you know, this is just speculation, that it could have been introduced through the ventilation system. But it's so thorough. It, like, you've seen that picture of Building 7? From top to bottom, it looks like smoke pouring out every orifice. From one of the faces?
Yeah.
Imagine if that's a chemical that when you hit it with a particular beam, it just annihilates that material.
So we're obviously dealing with a technology that, you know, if that's indeed the case, that, you know, the public is not privy to.
Right.
Which shouldn't surprise us, because we know that they have, you know.
Right. And I'm just looking at what the evidence is showing us.
I mean, you can't even get most people to acknowledge that they're engaging in weather modification, but they admit that they've been doing this for decades.
Oh, there's a article in a paper like a couple years ago from China that they had a problem with dust, and so they ordered up rain to get rid of the dust that was in the city.
Yeah, that was in Malaysia. That was okay. In the Wall Street Journal that talked about that, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a convenience thing. So they ordered up rain.
They contracted with the Soviet Union or Russia to create a typhoon to get rid of the dust, yeah. Remember that.
They can... It's amazing what they can do, but they keep us distracted. So
right.
Why do you think, if you're going to have a cover-up of 9/11, if you were going to use some kind of new high-tech weapon, you'd need a good cover-up, wouldn't you? Because you're going to have people asking questions.
Yeah.
So what do? You give them an answer. You funnel them over here so you can control their thinking. People don't like to think that their thinking is being controlled. But think of the afternoon of 9/11. What were you thinking then compared to what you're thinking now? You had a trick played on you. We all did. And that shouldn't be an embarrassment. What it should be is that we start asking questions now. Ask questions of everything. Does this make sense?
Yeah, exactly. And when you stop doing that, that's when you,
You fall in.
Right. No, I'm always for an open mind to,
I see these pictures that were taken on the afternoon of 9/11 or at noon on 9/11. You don't have much material. And then you hear the story that the steel was all hauled off to China or wherever. Now I see the reason for that story.
Well, it turns out, I guess, a great deal wasn't actually sent. I think that was a distraction, too, because they turned some of it now into a Navy ship. A lot of it is still being kept at the JFK.
I think they pretty much had to have shipped somewhere so they could...
Yeah.
They actually have proof, at least two steel beams, so they could say the beams, plural. They can be honest, too. Beams were sent to wherever.
Well, I know there was that one truck that had some material that was taken down to the docks there, and it was being tracked by satellite, you know, that no one could touch it. And
yeah, they wouldn't want anyone to see it. That's another symptom I found of what was going on is the rust. You were around Ground Zero shortly after the event, weren't you? Did you see this tremendous rust instantly?
I don't remember seeing rust.
There's, like the Toasted Car Lot. That's a couple blocks away. That car park?
I was there like a year, probably a year and a half later.
Oh, okay. There's a car park a couple blocks away from Ground Zero. It was on fire. But there's nothing in fire in between. There's just paper in the streets right after the towers go poof. There's paper in the streets. How did those cars get on fire? And then after the fire gets put out, they're tremendously rusted. Steel does not rust that fast.
Yeah, there's some kind of corrosive...
Iron rusts that fast. Steel has these other little tiny doodads in it, and they keep it from rusting.
Right, right.
That's why they like to use steel to build skyscrapers.
Structural steel is not made to...
So how do you get stuff instantly rusting? Or pretty much instantly?
It's been
turned into iron. It's because the molecules have been dissociated. We're talking about the tail end of whatever the effect was. It wasn't a thorough disintegration.
Yeah, I remember seeing pictures of the beams being stacked up ready to be hauled away, and they're red.
They're what?
They're red in color. They're rusted.
Oh, there's Rust-Oleum or whatever on them, or the primer paint on them. But there's also, steel pipes, like plumbing pipes, that look like they're spray-painted orange.
Mm.
That's on my Dirt 4 page, and I believe... The picture of the digger pulling up something glowing that Jones liked to show, and it says that's evidence of molten metal. I think that is done as a cover story. I call it the Cheeto picture because there's this pipe on the ground that's uniform color orange. And that trained you to say, if I see any more of that orange stuff in these pictures, that must mean molten metal or hot metal, not rust. And there's a picture also I have on that page where you see the fumes coming up from the pile, and you notice it's orange. The steel is fuming orange, rusty color of smoke. In other words, the material is just coming apart and turning into vapor. We don't need to know how it happened in order to see that something is causing that. We don't know what.
What's the percentage of bodies, do you know, that they claim to have found remains from? I mean, aren't a great many of them still totally unaccounted for?
I think in those audios I have of right afterwards, what Giuliani was saying, something like 40 bodies they had parts to.
That's it?
Yeah.
Maybe
the number got up to 100 or so after that, or 200, but nothing like 3,000.
Unbelievable. So, yeah, there was roughly, 26... 100 people, and they only found 300 or 400 body parts representing 300 or 400 people. Now, what does that tell you?
Yeah, where are the computer screens? How many computers do you think were in that building?
I mean, it's almost like they were, vaporized. You can't have that happen, folks.
Hey.
And when they cremate somebody, the bodies are cooked to about 3,000 degrees to turn them to ash.
There's different chemical processes, but the dirt thing kind of implies a chemical process. But I believe that there's something that sets it off, that excites it. There's a whole lot of interesting, it's the best mystery story. Very intriguing.
Well, obviously, to get that debris out the way they did, and lying to people about the condition of the air just so they could hurry up and get in there and get the debris out.
What was in the air? Think about it. If this material is coming apart, just dissolving midair, and then for days, you need to see my dirt series. There's these satellite images, like from the next day, where you have this the fuming is going up into the upper atmosphere. Why does the building continue to come apart? Dissolving up into the air. Now, imagine the people who are breathing it. Whatever that chemical was that causes things to disintegrate, what does it do when it gets in your body?
Well, here they are. I mean, they're dying in droves, guys, left and right. And the media isn't covering this. They're not getting any help. They're not getting any funds for their medical costs. Look at that one guy, Vito Valente. I had him on here. He's not doing too good. I want to see if he can come on the show again sometime.
Oh, I would love to talk with him and ask him about these various things. Not what he was told to believe about what he saw, but ask him the actual questions.
He doesn't necessarily see 9/11 as an inside job, but he knows that they've been lying, and they certainly lied to him and his buddies that helped clean up.
Yeah, why?
Exactly. Tell you what, we're running out of time here. We got Marie, who's called in from New England. Welcome, Marie.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, welcome.
All right. Well, I do have a couple questions for your very interesting guest. And sorry if I repeat things that you've already gone over, because it's very difficult getting your program on the website. I mean, getting your program on the shortwave. Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. We might have a break.
Yeah, if we have to go into a break, just stick with us and you can pick up after the break. But go ahead.
All right. Well, I have a few questions. What was the goal of your research? Do you have any theories? And how do you explain the foaming that you described? What was the purpose of the Durrett? What do you plan to do with all your research? And do you have a book coming out? And would you please repeat your website?
Those are some good questions, Marie. Thank you. Website is drjudywood.com, drjudywood.com.
W-O-D?
W-O-O-D.
Oh, all right.
drjudywood.com. So it's drjudywood.
.com.
Yep. All right, thank you. And so could you answer some of those questions?
Yeah, my goal has been
I got to go a break. Marie, you can stick on the line if you want with us, and we'll be right back after the commercials. Okay, we're back here on Two Thirds Radio. Got a few more minutes left with Judy Woods. Yeah, Judy, did you remember some of the questions?
Yes, I did. As for a book, yes, and perhaps two. But what my priorities are, if they were to make money, I'd be doing the book full time. But my priorities are to expose what really happened. That's the most important thing, and to do whatever we can do to get the bad guys.
I guess she wanted a brief summary of what you think was used to take the towers down. I guess she wasn't able to hear.
What was used to take the towers down? I'm not sure. Oh yeah, what she asked what my goals were. My goals aren't to find out the answer. My goals are to see what really happened. Instead of here's my solution. Let me go look for the evidence that supports it. That's not the scientific method.
Well, I've always said when it comes to 9/11, the important thing is not to know what did happen so much as what didn't. And we know what didn't happen.
And I've been ruling out things left and right, like gravity collapses out of the picture.
Elimination, right.
But then
right.
What you see, what happened. Don't limit yourself by what you know about. Like, I only know about slingshots, so it had to be a slingshot or nothing. Greg Jenkins likes to say it took five times the Earth's energy to destroy the towers. That means they're still there?
Marie, are you going to say something?
I was going to say, with all that information that I've been able to hear her describe, it seems to me there is a tremendous paper trail, or there ought to be some type of some form of a paper trail.
Well, that's what I was talking about earlier, but who knows? They could have destroyed that by now.
Look at the front page of my website. I have a section on things I've been doing, confronting the powers that be. We filed RFCs, that's requests for corrections, in March, and also have done several other things. If we think directed energy weapons used, what I call directed energy weapons doesn't mean it's conventional. It means it's a weapon that uses energy and it can be directed, rather than something that's not controllable.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's a correspondence with the Directed Energy Directorate's office, top of the military operation in Kirtland Air Force Base, and a response. They refused to deny that directed energy weapons were used. They took the Fifth Amendment.
You referring to neutron type of weapons?
I'm not being specific and specifying exactly, as I say, I'm not giving the serial numbers, but it's this category. If I don't know of a new gizmo they have, I'm looking at the evidence. The evidence is consistent with some kind of chemical being in the building that was then triggered by a beam. That's how you could control how the building disintegrated, in what order. But I don't know what that gizmo is. I don't know how it operates. But, ask the Energy Directorate's office, and they're mum about it. They don't say, oh, no, a directed energy weapon couldn't have done that. They did not say that.
Well, in your research, if you don't find hard a hard paper trail. There ought to be some way to investigate computer trails.
That would be good to do, and with Freedom of Information Acts and so forth. But it's hard for, you know, an individual to do that. It would be terrific if somebody would come forward who was asked to do some of these things and didn't realize why they're being asked.
We can only hope. Unfortunately, we've kind of run out of time. I got to have you on again sometime, Judy. Keep up the good work. Keep digging. The answer's out there. Maybe some scientists will come forward at some point. Thanks, Marie, for the call. And have a great day, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks.
A message for all homeowners.